Welcome back to This Working Droid, or at least a very special edition of This Working Droid, episode number 159, Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic. So, you guys are probably wondering why there's an episode this week, especially since This Working Droid and myself should be on vacation, but on Monday night, December 22nd, the same developer who released Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic to iOS released the game for Android. It was a very random bit of news, and I got very excited. I checked it out, and it was the same developer, and it is available for Android for a number of Android devices. There's a nice, big, long list, so there's a good chance, or there's many devices that are supported, so it's a good chance it works on many devices. So I purchased it, installed it, started playing it, and I thought I would do a review on it, so... I'll jump right into it. It's relatively straightforward, nothing too much to say. The highlight of it is that it is now available for iOS and Android at the same price of $9.99, so I'll walk right into it, especially for those of you who have not played the game, are not sure about it, or just want a refresher. So with that, I'll jump right into the episode. So for those of you who don't know what Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic is that it is an old RPG game. It's set in the Star Wars universe. It was originally released for the PC back around, I think it was 2002 to 2003. Essentially, you take the identity of you're the player, and over the course of the game, you accomplish various missions, and you build up your, you level up your player with various traits and abilities and characteristics. You pick up different team members. Eventually, as you might assume, you do take the role of a Force user. The twist of the game is that your actions over the course of the game start right as soon as you jump into the game, but it doesn't take effect right away, but your interactions until you start becoming an actual Force user affect your personality, so you lean towards the light side or the dark side of the Force. You get a nice meter that shows you exactly how far you're leaning, so depending on where you want your character to go is how you'll interact with various characters or how you interact in the game. And as you might suspect, it is easier to go towards the dark side of the Force. So if you go lean that way, you get more points than if you would go towards the light side of the Force. But you can go all the way in either direction. It is not impossible throughout the course of the game. So that's the basic premise of the game. I'm not going to actually reveal any plot points. I did play the original game, so I do know how it ends. Don't read the Wikipedia or anything like that, as if you don't want to be, or if you don't want to have any spoilers. But that's so becoming a Jedi is not, or a Sith is not, an actual end teaser. That is one of the features of the game. So what they did here for the mobile version of Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic, the first one, there is actually a sequel, and they're both prequels to the Star Wars The Old Republic MMORPG, so there is that, but this is the original game built for the mobile platform. So essentially you have the exact same game, but instead of using your mouse to navigate around, or mouse and keyboard, you'll use your touchscreen. Essentially, moving around is not something that was easily understood in the game, but to move around, you'll essentially touch your finger to the screen, and then you'll drag your finger up, left, right, and around. So essentially, it's using the mouse navigation to or mouse-style navigation to navigate around the environment. So it might be a little tricky, or might feel a little bit unusual, so at least it did for me, because it's not a form of navigation that I'm used to. You can touch around or select a destination, and you'll go to that destination as well if you want. So there are those two modes. In the settings, there is a always run mode as well if you want to have your character always run to the destination, because walking can be very time consuming. As far as I remember, I don't think there was any time limits to accomplishing missions except for the speed racer portions of it, but... Or it's not necessarily, it's a weird predecessor to pod racing, but I think that's a whole different segment. But As far as I remember, there's no time limit to accomplishing missions, but don't quote me on that. But there is that setting in any case to bring it back around as far as if you want to run or walk to wherever you want to get to. It does have the option of adjusting your visual settings, so I did play around with mine and I didn't take note of where they were set as defaults, but if you see that it's lagging your device a little bit or it's not being very friendly on higher settings, you can tone them down a little bit. You can turn the visual various settings on and off, so you can play with that a little bit based on your device as well. But essentially, you get the same features as you did on the desktop version of the game. So, when you start off in the game, you'll pick a character, so a male or female soldier, scout, and I forget what the third type is. So, six various personality types, and then you pick the look of your character. So, and then from there, you pick their traits and characteristics. So, what they're good at or what you want to have them good at to start, and then build up other areas later if you want them to be balanced as far as, let's say, security, injury treat, or healing abilities, dexterity, constitution, all of that. And then fighting abilities. So if you want them to be good at dual weapon fighting, or if you want them to have a strong power attack or multi-shot attack. So all sorts of different options can be selected as well from a limited point set, so you can see, so you can start your character off kind of where you want to start favoring them at. So if you know that your character type is a little weak in an area, you can have them built up there or suit to whatever style you want the character to be, and then build up other areas over time. And then essentially from there you'll jump into the from there you'll name your character, so you get your own name. It's not actually read aloud in the game, so it's something from the original game that they brought forward, so nothing's too special there. But once you've done that, you'll jump right into the game. You'll get a bit of a backstory on why your character is there, sort of who Bastel is, who the captain of the ship is, who your bunkmate is, and then you'll get a bit of information on equipping your character's clothing and weaponry and armor and all of that. How to switch between teammates, and then opening, closing doors, security, switching between teammates, all of that good stuff in a quick tutorial, and then you'll jump right into the game. You get to navigate around the ship and accomplish missions. So from there, that's essentially the basis of the game, and then and it's all set in the Star Wars universe, so and it's essentially 4,000 years before the Battle of Endor, I believe they said it was. So a lot of the characters and names you're not going to recognize, but you will see kind of the elements of the various spaceships, like the Empire's TIE Fighters and things like that. You'll see a little bit of the look and feel of how certain spaceships looked, building structures. The initial planet that you're overlooking has a kind of initial feel to Coruscant, so that'll look a little bit familiar. But as I mentioned, from there, essentially your character will go and you'll start building them up. You'll start interacting with characters as you progress through the ship. Also will see how you can pick up various things from corpses that are lying around. So you'll get things like stim packs, med packs, different kinds of swords and weapons, whatever's lying around on corpses, whatever's in foot lockers and storage bins. So it's always good to look around and see what might be lying around. It might be something useful that you will need. And then as you interact with other characters, those influences will tie back directly to your character's personality. So if you say something mean, you'll get more dark side points. If you want to help other characters, you'll get more light side points. If you want to... So essentially that kind of thing. So the things you would generally assume to be a good, positive things, you'll get light side points for. And things that are generally mean, aggressive, angry, that sort of thing, you'll get more dark side points for. And then it's important to start this off early and pick a side. If you want to be a Jedi or a Sith, you can be dead in the middle if you want. It is a little bit hard to do, but it can be done. But if you go towards the side of either Jedi or Sith, it also translates it directly into Force points as well. So if you go and be, if you wanted to pick the side of the Jedi, and you pick those Force abilities and those traits that are beneficial to a Jedi, so healing, Force running, Force jumping, things like that, you use fewer Force points that are directly tied to being a Jedi and a good person. Same thing on the Sith side. So if you, let's say you decide to pick Force Lightning and Force Choke and things like, and Mind Control, then as a Sith, you'll use fewer points. You can use those same, pick those same four, or any Force ability for Jedi or Sith, but if you pick Force Lightning and you are a Jedi, you're going to use more points because it spends, uses more of your Force powers to use those traits. And same thing as a Sith, if you want to use Force healing, you're going to use more of your Force points there as well. So something to consider when you're using those abilities. I forget exactly how much you can use, but let's say you do want to have those abilities, and it is possible to use, but just something to consider later on in the game when you get into harder levels, that you may not have as many points available as you may want. So that's really all I wanted to cover for the game. You have the same game as the desktop version, as I mentioned, so if you have played it before, you're not going to, or at the moment, I don't think you'll see anything new. I've only done the gone through part of the initial level on the Endar Spire, so I don't know how much has changed, but so far it looks to be about all the same. On the Android side, you do get to tie the game in with Google Play, so, or Google Play Games at least, so you can have, or there are achievements that you can achieve and have leaderboard stats, and it does tie into leveling up there as well, so you get that option if you want. I've already done that, so you'll see that. But so far, it seems like it has adopted well to the mobile interface. It works well so far on my Moto X, so it does. I would say that it's going to work on, it should work, I want to say, on most mid-range to high-end devices. Definitely high-end device. I looked at a quick overview of the list, so all the Nexus, or the Nexus 5 and 6, I believe, were there. And then ran them both Moto X's, the first and second generation, so if you check out the developer's website, you should be able to see that list as well. And as I mentioned, it's available for Android and iOS, both for $9.99, so no special pricing there. But since it is a new release on the Android side, they are having a special sale for 50% off. So for a short time, it is going to be $4.99. That's the price I snagged it at. So if you guys do want to get a little bit of, or save a little bit of money to get the game, then definitely check it out. But overall, it is a fun game. It does, it is, I don't want to say it's a long game, but it can seem very long because it does require a lot of running around across the vast world. It, especially the first time, few times around, it is very vast because you do run not only on one level, but multiple levels on each world. And there are multiple worlds, so definitely check it out. It is worth playing. I do like it a lot. And you, if I remember correctly as well, you will have to go between worlds to finish certain missions, so take that into consideration. But overall, it is a very fun game. It's very addicting, and it's especially fun for Star Wars player or Star Wars fans. And even if you're not a Star Wars fan, if you're into science fiction or action, or just want to get into a role-playing game that's not particular, I mean, there is fighting involved, so it can be kind of violent, but don't expect to see, there's no blood or anything like that, or gore, so don't expect, so you don't have to worry about too much of the horror side. I think there's one level early on that's kind of, or that might seem a little bit scary. It is a rock ghoul plague, but it's not so scary that you'll freak out. So if you're worried about things like that, it's not overly violent either, so something on that side as well, as far as tips in the game. So but that's really all I wanted to cover for this episode. I was rather excited to see that it was available for Android. It has been available for iOS, so most people can play the game. It is, or it has been adapted for the widescreen, so if you do, so since most smartphones are widescreen, you do cover that much more, or you have that much more of a viewing angle. It does seem kind of small at the moment, so it might be better suited for a tablet, but we'll see. I just started playing it again, so we'll see exactly how it fares on later levels, but so far, so good. So that's really all I want to say about that. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, or anything like that, or want a little bit more information about the game, you could always email me at headphonesneil@yahoo.com. You can leave me a voicemail at 714-451-6574. You can find me on Twitter at PatelN01. You can find ebooks for our past episodes at author.patelN01.com. You can support Geek or this show and the Geek.io network of shows on Patreon at patreon.com/geek.io to help remove ads, sponsors, and all of that stuff, expand the network, support the hosts. That's all on the Patreon site at patreon.com/geek.io. I also want to thank our sponsors, ThinkGeek, Tweaked Audio, Puget Systems. All links for these sponsors and more are in the show notes, so definitely check that out. But with that, that's all for this particular episode. Thanks for tuning in, and until next time.